There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, our daily podcast that brings together the best bits of today's show from Wednesday, December the 18th. What's the deal with the free calling app, Totok, that everyone's talking about?
It is up for debate with regards to the pronunciation. We haven't been given a definitive pronunciation. We're going to go with Totok. But then Eamon was mentioning a bit earlier, you know, some people are suggesting it's to talk.
Which would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Nah.
Now you say it. It's one of those, isn't it? Thank you very much indeed to all those that have been having their thoughts and opinions on this one. Mohammed got in touch with us saying, does that not mean by default that Totok will have access to your mic and your camera while using the app, for which we give permission as well? Will it also therefore have access to record voice and video calls, etc.? Again, we do not have the answers to this, Mohammed. It's just speculation at this particular point. We are trying to get more information on this one.
Absolutely, because it just seemed to. It was the sort of thing people were talking about it quietly. I'd met a couple of people who were using it, some working for very big organisations, and said everyone in our organisation is using it. And then all of a sudden, bang, it was on the front page. And so we've been speaking this morning to the lawyer, Eamon Holly. He's a partner at DLA Piper. He specialises in the telecom space. And we began talking to him about the legality of Totok.
The short answer is probably not. So just to go back a step as well, the Botum and the various other currently available VoIP services are not licensed by the TRA.
Okay.
The TRA says that it doesn't block VoIP services and that it's up to the licensees to decide what's on their network or not. So if a service is lawful, it is because it's being offered through the existing licensees. And the question around Totok is, do they have a relationship yet with Dua or Tesla that allows that to occur?
I've also got a couple of other comments that have come through. This one was from Nadia saying, yeah, you're right, guys. Botim are rebranding to Totok. That's the message that we're getting at the moment. We had Zaman get in touch with us on that one as well. And Lorient came forward saying, I paid 50 dirhams a month on Etisalem to use Botim in the first place. So it must have been lawful. Surely it is, after all, a paid service. Thank you very much indeed for all of those. Up to you now, really. I mean, as a user out there, I've not got it on my phone. I've not downloaded it just yet, just because I'm lazy.
Your kids probably have, though.
I think they probably have. I know a number of friends that have. And we've spoken to people that have come into the studio already. They've got it as well. Everyone's saying it's brilliant in terms of clarity, in terms of ease of use.
Yeah, and the big one is free. We asked Eamon, from a legal point of view altogether, when it comes to these internet calls, when it comes to these calling platforms, where do we actually stand?
The telecoms law requires that voice services need a license. So VoIP is a voice service. Mm. Now, if they don't have a license and they're offering services to the public, strictly they're providing services unlawfully. So, like I said earlier, the TRA's position is that it does not block VoIP services. It's up to the operators to decide whether or not they will allow the services on the network. And that's why some features and some services are blocked and others aren't. Strictly to provide a voice service in the UAE, you need a telecoms license unless you have an arrangement with one of the two licensees. And then VoIP again, the TRA has published a policy on this and explained that exactly what I've just described. Mm. But it does make one exception, which is if an entity or company has, you know, two or more branches, they can connect themselves internally with a VoIP service as long as it doesn't cross the international borders.
A lot of people getting in touch with us about this one, and with good reason as well. A lot of people saying, you know, treading with care, no such thing as a free lunch, too good to be true, surely. Also others saying, no, won't touch it with a barge pole because they'll have access to my photos, etc., access to this. All good and well. I suppose it prompts the question this, yeah, maybe it does. But then, are we not getting to that sort of point at the moment where how often do we sign up for free Wi-Fi, click the boxes without even reading the terms and conditions, and then get bombarded by spam mails, left, right and centre, and calls from Vanuatu every 2 minutes asking if you'd like to sign up to whatever practice? I mean, we are constantly giving
Facebook,
away.
Facebook, Instagram, all the rest of them. Have you ever read the terms of service?
Yeah. And is it therefore a concern? And therefore, is this a fair trade to a certain degree? If, and I'm not saying for a moment that anybody is using said data or said information, but if they happen to be, if you're getting it for free, is that therefore a fair trade?
Many questions.
Would you allow people... No, I'm not going to go there.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
We are now having a look at some of the big news of this week, which was Boeing deciding to temporarily halt production of the troubled 737 MAX aircraft after, of course, those two fatal crashes earlier this year. What does that mean for Gulf Airlines and their passengers? We are speaking now to Vanamra Longani, who is the head of operations at the law firm Sarin & Co. Vanamra, it's lovely to speak to you again. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be back on air.
What was your reaction to Boeing's decision? Did the company actually have any choice?
To be honest, very frankly, the halt essentially indicates that the re-entry into service of the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft is definitely not around the corner. So, I mean, to just put this into perspective, the MAX essentially got over 5,000 orders, and that made it the fastest-selling aircraft in Boeing's history. However, since the fatal crashes, which you mentioned, Boeing has since struggled to get MAX orders. However, Boeing continued to produce these MAX aircraft since the grounding, and as of date has an inventory of about 400 of these aircraft in storage. So the real issue that Boeing is faced as of now is, one, there is absolutely no clarity on when the 737 MAX will be certified to fly again by the FAA. The recertification has unfortunately faced multiple setbacks and delays, so we do not really know when this aircraft is going to be back in the air. The FAA has now gone on record to say they will inspect each aircraft and do the pre-delivery checks themselves, which adds more time to the delivery of these jets. There are global regulators who have historically accepted the American FAA certification of an aircraft. They've now gone on record to say they will do their individual due diligence, and we do not know how long that can take. And finally, I mean, to be honest, from an airline standpoint, airlines just aren't ready to take deliveries of these hundreds of jets altogether. So to come back to what Boeing did, I think it was sort of expected that this halt in production was definitely around the corner.
I mean, it's trying to stem the losses, isn't it? I mean, JP Morgan has estimated that Boeing was losing $10 billion a month with the 737 MAX. But even halting production, they're still saying it's going to cost them $1 billion a month because they still have overheads. There will still be labour costs associated. You can't just immediately let everyone go.
Absolutely. I mean, see, honestly, Boeing gets paid on delivery of an aircraft. So you could stock up on hundreds of these, but you don't get paid. So as of now, there is no cash coming in because they haven't delivered a single of these aircraft over the last 9 months. Stopping production, like you rightly said, it does help reduce some expenses and inventory costs. However, it's a bit of a catch-22 situation for Boeing because if you do not have aircraft ready to deliver, you end up paying billions in compensation to airlines for future delays because, you know, air orders have been tied in. So, I mean, it is expected that this the impact of this pause of production will sort of be felt over the coming years for Boeing.
Well, you mentioned airlines there. Let's talk about the challenges that airlines such as Fly Dubai here face now with the news that not just that the planes aren't going to be made, but the inference from that that you mentioned first off, which is that they're not going to be getting in the air anytime soon.
So, you know, Fly Dubai essentially placed the second largest MAX order. I mean, they have 250 of these jets on order. The largest order came from Southwest, which is an American airline. Flydubai has 14 of these MAX aircraft grounded. So that is almost 30% of their capacity taken out. So the expansion at Flydubai has been stalled, so much so that, you know, for the winter peak, which is Christmas and New Year, Flydubai has gone ahead and taken four 737 aircraft on lease, on wet lease from Smartwings, just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't really disrupt travel plans for people based out of Dubai. They've had to extend leases on current aircraft. I mean, some of their aircraft are really old, and they were supposed to be replaced by these new fuel-efficient 737 MAX aircraft. And that just means that, you know, older aircraft, one, the cost of like keeping them on, two, maintenance costs. So it's just the airline per se has lost a lot of traffic during the summer period. And unfortunately, the winter period does not look any different.
I mean, airlines around the world who have these planes will be having to juggle routes, pilots, presumably, as well, and they will want compensation.
Oh, exactly. I mean, there have been all kinds of compensation numbers flying around, from anywhere between like a couple of billions to a lot more. Airlines will obviously be compensated by Boeing. However, it's just to be fair, there's little impact per se as such, immediate impact on airlines globally. However, to get the priority really would be to get these MAX aircraft back into service as soon as it is certified. And obviously, the compensation, et cetera, will be decided in course of time.
1 minute left with you, Vinamra. What's the bigger picture here for the US and then the global economy of this move by Boeing? Because, you know, Boeing's quite a contributor to jobs, to the sale of these planes overseas. It all puts cash in the US coffers, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So it is definitely concerning that there is a halt in production. Boeing has gone on record to say they're not laying any people off. They're still going to continue work on the 737 program, which means they're trying to sit down with suppliers and look at inventory. As of now, it completely depends on when this aircraft is recertified and it's back in the air. So, you know, it's very difficult to sort of, put a figure to it or comment on it at this point in time. It is definitely concerning, and one would just hope that these aircraft get back in the air sooner than later.
Vinamra Longani, the head of operations at the law firm Sarin & Co.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Tom and I are deep on, well, we're buried in a website, not looking at the show, but that website is nationbrand.ae.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there, in recent times about the sort of brand direction of the UAE. And it's something that all residents and citizens are being encouraged to get involved in. In fact, only yesterday, UAE leaders reiterating the invite for every member of the public to take part in selecting a new logo that will represent the UAE to the wider world. This comes from up on top, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President, Prime Minister, Ruler of Dubai, and Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, yesterday taking to social media to invite you, me, everyone listening out there, in fact, not just everyone here in the UAE, but the public at large, take part in selecting a new logo to be the front-facing brand, if you like, for not Dubai, not just Abu Dhabi, but the UAE to the world in years to come. If you want to get involved in this, you can do. Brandy and I are involved this morning. We're going through a few of the suggestions at nationbrand.ae. It's www.nationbrand.ae. You can get on there and you can vote for your favourite logo, starting from yesterday. Popular was this yesterday after the call went out, after the tweet went out, which is a story in itself. You know, when a tweet can go out from a ruler's office and basically close a website, you know, crash a website because of the inundation of votes and thoughts. It really gives you an idea of how well social media is being used by the authorities here at the moment. But what I like, there's a green initiative to this, and this was what I was made aware of last night. For every single vote that is placed on the site, you'll be doing your bit. Your carbon footprint is getting that little less, because every single vote that is made, the UAE will plant a tree with the aims to plant millions of trees across the world, according to the state news agency here, which is a nice initiative.
So here's what I think really works about this website. Take 5 minutes a day. Actually take 10 minutes, because the reason that it's really grabbed me for long, I thought, I'll go on, I'll choose one and I'll vote. I tend to have quite definite opinions about these things, that's fine. And there are three logos to choose from. But when you go to vote for them, they show you the logos mocked up in different scenarios. Yeah. So it's not just here's the logo, it's here's what the logo would look like on advertisements, here's what it would look like as a badge, here's what it would look like on a business card, here's what it would look like as a stationery header. And I've actually changed my opinion this morning from the one that I was going to vote for, and I thought, okay, that's the standout for me, that's very much my sort of taste, to the one that I had thought was least my taste, because when you see it in the setting in which it will be used, which is basically to brand the UAE, I like the other one more.
So there are three, correct?
There are three.
Okay, and I'm trying to work out whether they... I've given them all my own little titles, if you like.
They have titles, but if you've given them your own, Tom, that's great.
No, but the title... So obviously there's a calligraphy-driven one. There's a nature-driven one.
Which is known as the palm.
The palm. And then there is a colory one.
Which is known as seven lines.
There we are. So I was along, you know, I could be in branding, basically. Brandy, I could be in branding. But you're right. It seems like a really straightforward decision. But as you say, you can go a little bit deeper.
It's very clever that they've mocked them up, because it did absolutely change my opinion. And when you think about what we're actually doing here, we're trying to create a maple leaf, but the UAE version. You know how you see the red maple leaf on things?
Yeah.
Or, to bang on about my country again, you see a silver fern on a black jersey, you see a Union Jack, whatever it happens to be, and you can think of a country, can't you?
Yeah.
And the maple leaf, I think, is one of the most simple, because you don't need words underneath it. It's one graphic image, isn't it? A very simple graphic image, actually, when you think about it. Two colours or one colour and a background. And you know what it is, bang, done. And that's kind of what we're aiming for here.
Yeah, and I mean, there are those out there that are going, okay, what does my opinion mean to anybody? But I like the fact that it's sort of gone out to a public vote, as it were, because I think there is that element of ownership for everybody. I mean, I was talking to an event last night, and talking to a lot of people who, you know, very gushing about their time here in the UAE, and everyone becomes an ambassador of sorts if you spend a bit of time here. I've got friends in town as well at the moment that I'm catching up for breakfast after the show. And, you know, their text message to me sort of really resonated with me last night. I've got so many questions I need to ask. So let's sit down for a cup of coffee and a bit of breakfast and see if we can get a few answers, etc. So that they can make the most of their stay here as well. And I think that the fact that this initiative has been, from the offset, you know, this was a competition that was opened up from a design point of view to Emirati and local artists here in the region to come up with the brand itself. We've got three very viable options there, and it'd be interesting to see which one wins through towards the end. Oh, and I suppose the other thing is that you've been perusing all three of those, and there is a icon under each of these buttons to vote now.
And I have, and there's a tree out there with my name on it.
I think you might have just given away the answer to my question there. Was I wonder if, like, a vote in a election, a political election, you're allowed to say which one you go for or not?
I'm not going to say which one I've gone for. I'm not.
You're not going to say?
No.
Okay. So it is a bit of a secret ballot, isn't it? It's an opinion thing.
Yeah. I don't want to influence your vote, Tom.
I've done them all three. I thought, you know, why one tree? You can have three, can't you? keep planting.
Plant a forest.
But nice initiative. I thought it was a good initiative. It was one that cropped up in conversation whilst I was out and about last night. It's one that I'm sure a number of you will be talking about today. And if you haven't voted for your logo yet, can you do so? Nationbrand.ae. You will feel very good about yourself having done it as well, because you will be planting a tree. And again, the tree planting thing, not to be sniffed at, because... a lot of people would say, oh, right, OK, so they're going to plant a tree here, are they? No, this is part of the UA's mission to plant trees, millions of trees, across the world, not just here in the UAE. This is a global initiative. So get yourself on there, vote for the logo you like best.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-sized Business Breakfast.
You might have read the notice or might have read the report earlier on this week that Facebook has begun implementing value-added tax, VAT, on the sale of ads in the UAE. Whenever Facebook makes an announcement, people sit up and listen, don't they? In a notice to UAE users, the firm said this, that, and I quote, due to the implementation of a value-added tax, i.e. VAT in the UAE, Facebook is now required to charge VAT on the sale of ads in the UA. That prompted a lot of questions. Why just Facebook? Why not other companies? What's behind this one? Is this just the start of a number of charges? Well, I haven't got the answers for you. That's why we've invited into the studio an expert on this particular subject and others. He's the co-founder of ArabClicks. He joins us live in the studio. Mauro Romano is with us. Mauro, good to have you with us.
Good to have you. Thank you very much, Tom.
So Facebook have begun implementing VAT on the sale of ads in the UAE. What was your initial reaction to this when you heard the story?
Well, I think the immediate reaction is that it's a very positive move into the online marketing and generally in the online e-commerce space. Advertisement has to be over time regulated. So introduction of VAT is basically the move of the tax federal authority to really jump into a structured environment where a company have to comply with certain rules. And VAT obviously is the consequence of these rules. Obviously, there is also the other angle is development, giving the federal tax authority some revenue, which comes out of the revenue that is generated out of Facebook, that in the Middle East is quite relevant compared to many other social networks.
I mean, we know how big Facebook is here. We know how big it is worldwide as well. Give us from where you and the team sort of sit as well. Give us an idea of how big Facebook advertising is, specifically here in the UAE.
Right. Just to give you an overview of what is the actual annual spending in advertisement generally, not just online but offline as well, in the Middle East is counting around $3.5 billion.
Wow.
Out of which you have roughly $1 billion, which is specifically dedicated to the digital marketing. And now, if you're breaking down these into how dominant are certain players compared to others, then you do have a consistency of flow, revenue stream going to Google Ads and Facebook, Instagram, binomio. So if you break it down, then in the UAE, probably you are taking into account, specifically for Facebook, at a value annual spending in online advertisement of $400-500 million. So that's what we assume is going to be, therefore, by applying a 5% VAT, then it's going to be a $25 million that the federal tax authority is going to get straight away.
Significant.
Imagine the knock-on effect as soon as they're going to be implementing VAT across all the other social networks.
Mm.
And in light of the fact that social networks, the duopoly at the moment is going to be broken down by the introduction of new social networks like TikTok, and in Saudi is going to be very massive the implementation of Snapchat in terms of advertisement side, Twitter, so Amazon. So things are going to change, and definitely the revenue is going to increase for the government.
And is that likely to happen? You mentioned other platforms as well, and moving forward, in light of this move, do you assume that we'll see more?
Look, I think it's just a natural consequence of how online marketing is evolving. I think that the government has to take sort of responsibility. I mean, the tax is the element through which you are in creating a budget for the government to create a framework under which they can create rules and controls over the activity. So I think, yes, the short answer is yes.
Companies out there listening in at the moment with their advertising budgets for 2020 on the table at the moment, is this going to have an impact on advertisers? Have we got to a point now where advertisers need to be on Facebook? So,
see, this is not a, I'm not a tax expert, but at the same time, you do realize the VAT in the UAE, as I know, it has to be, it's compulsory as soon as the annual revenue of a company is reaching the 370,000 dirham, roughly. It's voluntarily when it's reaching 185,000 dirham. So you don't need to apply for VAT. So which is the consequence of it? I mean, as a company, you are paying VAT, and only if when you're applying for a VAT, then it's a B2B. So your net, your credit VAT on one side and your debit VAT on the other side. So the net impact on a company which has a certain size, through which basically we said we apply as applied for VAT, is not going to be massive. The VAT has an impact on the final consumer. Mm. So what you see in the Middle East is advertisement company have to create a better structure. They have to implement. Probably there will be an increase on cost on their side and potential budget. But we've seen already one of the elements that is quite astonishing is that the revenue, this $1 billion, which is spent on digital marketing, most of it is going out from the Middle East. It's going to, and this is basically a sign that advertisement companies into the Middle East, they will receive, you know, less money because many companies, many brands, many brands are actually spending their money directly on Facebook. So the net effect is going to be potentially net less.
And I mean, but this is a big global thing at the moment, isn't it?
Online marketing is a global trend. Yeah,
yeah, but also getting the big digital players and their tax footprints and where they pay tax and where they don't pay tax is a much bigger story than just the UAE.
Indeed. I think, you know, when we as a platform sitting in the middle, we see how the digital marketing is performed. And we cannot define digital marketing as a national activity. Actually, it's a global activity. Many players are playing the UAE market, advertising in the UAE, but they are coming from all over the world. It could be India, Asia, Europe, and obviously the Middle East.
In terms of, I mean, it's interesting the timing of this announcement as well, just a couple of weeks before the end of the year. Often we'd like to see sort of turning over a new sheet, if you like, a new chapter for the beginning of the year. It gives us an opportunity to look back on the year that was as well. I mean, from an ArabClix point of view, and for those that don't know, you're a performance-based marketing platform that helps e-commerce companies connect and grow in the region and further afield. From a regional point of view, are we getting more conscious of the implications of VAT and otherwise in terms of e-commerce out there at the moment? And how have things been for you, 2019?
It's been a great year. Honestly, it's been fantastic simply because people, brands are aware of how important is the use of data. And performance-based analysis is the best way to provide this kind of result to the brands. The online marketing is becoming a marketing through which the brands have to be made aware of the spending through the result. Mm. So the performance that has been applied and, you know, the use of data through Facebook or Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat are the right ways for, you know, just forecasting the growth of the market in the Middle East. So it's been a fantastic year. We have seen a 50% increase on average month on month over the last quarter. And we expect more growth coming, especially from KSA and UAE in the next 12 months.
I was going to ask about that for 2020, for your New Year predictions as well. More of a player from Saudi Arabia?
Look, I think I was at the FII, the Future Investment Initiative, and I can say that Saudi is changing fantastically. Mm. And it's an amazing opportunity. Online e-commerce is already grow from $5 billion last year, 2018, to almost $10 billion in 2019. So we are just expecting more and more to come. More companies are coming. more companies are online. They're just leapfrog into the future, I would say.
Best of luck for 2020.
Thank you very much, Tom,
for coming in and giving us your thoughts on this latest story. That's Mauro Romano there, the co-founder of ArrowClicks, joining us live here.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Tom Urquhart and myself will be back on air tomorrow morning from 6.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.